Have you noticed that it's sports season again? Right, have you noticed that? I'm a football fan. I'm not a fanatic, but I'm a fan. And it has been refreshing for me to see football back on TV. But even if you're a baseball fan, or maybe basketball, so I know the NBA Finals are sort of moving towards closer to the end, you know, kind of wrapping up a little bit. So whatever sport you may like to play, racing, I think is kind of ramping up and kind of getting going here, if I'm right on that. But whatever it is, one of the things you can usually notice is people will sometimes wear the jersey of their favorite player. Anybody ever do that? Wear the jersey, maybe their favorite player, you know? And so you've got that, you got the whole thing going. You got the number on the front and the back, and sometimes maybe that name on the back. And people see that jersey and they know you're a fan. You know, you can you watch the players on TV and you see they've got that jersey on, especially now that, you know, also with what's been going on in our nation and the Black Lives Matter movement that has really been front and center because of the issue of social justice and the need for equality in our nation and with all humanity. And so I've been watching ball, and I've seen some of the players, you know, that used to be just had their name on the back, you know, at the top, but now the back, different ones have equality, or it says Black Lives Matter, and they have their name at the bottom. But you see them in their uniform, you see that jersey, and it has their name on it. It has what they believe in. They're recognizable. And when you see that, you see that name on the jersey, and you recognize that they belong to that organization. They belong to that team. And they're known for being a part of that team. By a name, you can belong and be known. In our Rebuilding Community series that we've been in over the last few weeks, I can't believe it's gone so quickly. We have been using the story of Nehemiah, and if you have a Bible handy, you want to open up to Nehemiah chapter 7. Can you believe we've already made it to chapter 7? We've gone through almost every chapter, but we're in Nehemiah chapter 7, and in chapter 7, I want to read verse 4 and the first half of verse 5, but before I, well, let me go to read that now as you're turning there. Where you pick up the story is the wall has been around the city of Jerusalem has been rebuilt. Now, it's not as big as it became, for the wall that they were rebuilding was fairly smaller in scope of size, and it would be added on and grow to be much larger. But at the time, they had rebuilt that wall. And so Nehemiah chapter 7 here in the Old Testament, let's look at verse 4. Now, the city was large and spacious, but there were a few people in it, and the houses had not yet been rebuilt. So, this is Nehemiah, my God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the common people for registration by families. I found the genealogical record of those who had been the first to return. This is what I found written there. Now, give me a moment. I'm going to read all of these names for us this morning. Just kidding. I'm not going to do that this morning. Had you going, though, didn't I? Yeah, I did. I did. Now, I jest a little bit with all the names being written, but the whole context of what I want to talk about in the idea of rebuilding a vibrant community actually centers around all of these names being written in this chapter. Something that seems so maybe insignificant, right, actually is extremely significant. And so I want to use that to help us set the stage for this last topic that we're going to cover in this series on rebuilding. So you may notice, you may have heard there they are in the city, it's been rebuilt, and the wall is up and around, but the city is not filled. And so it said the houses of families are pretty sparse, right? So they're pretty well spread out. So it's just not a whole lot of people there. There's probably a significant amount of gardens and maybe little farms or something, you know. It would not have been what we probably today would think of Jerusalem that we would see in pictures. It would have been a very stark contrast to today. So houses, a lot of them are in ruins. They're not quite rebuilt all the way. There's not a bunch of houses and families that are living there in the city. There's some. Of course, the temple's rebuilt. We know that. But it's just, it's not what it once was, and it's not yet what it's going to become. But it is what it is. And so here in chapter 7, God puts on Nehemiah's heart that here's the shape of what's my city, where my the temple is, where my people is supposed to be sort of the home of my nation. I want you to take account of all the people that have come back from exile. And you see all of these names, and you see that a list of people that belonged in Jerusalem because their name was identified in the lineage of the land. And you can see that people would become known in that city and around. They'd be known as rightful citizens because their names were written down. By your name, you belonged and were known. I've lived in southern Indiana. I've lived in Alabama. I have lived in Michigan. It gets cold up there. And it gets right down hot down southern Alabama. It gets hot here too. I've lived in all three places. And I've found that over my experiences, when I'm here in southwestern Indiana, my name is known a lot more frequently than when I was in Michigan or when I was in Alabama. So I could be around town here. In fact, it just happened again yesterday. Drew and I were out at a business in town and went up to the counter and was giving them our name to, you know, do a transaction with the company. And the guy goes, "Hey, are you related to?" And so I was like, "Huh, I don't know that particular, you know, I don't think so, but who knows for sure?" You know, I can go out to the west side, and the Scheller name is fairly popular. And you can go up north of Evansville, and it kind of is popular there as well, you know. But I can go down to southern Alabama. I got nothing. I can go up to Michigan. I got nothing. I'm like the only one I ever run into. And that's not a bad thing. It is what it is, you know. And so what that's for me has helped me to kind of experience is this sense of belonging and being known as someone who's part of the area, right? Because you know when I've lived in other places, it hasn't been bad. So don't think it's like that poor guy's been just had such a bad experience. It's not the case. But it is true that being, you know, for example, in Michigan, we were there for a number of years, and one of the experiences that I kind of had multiple times was just this sense of being an outsider, simply because for one, your name is different. So people automatically know that that's not a name from the area. So you're already an outsider kind of stepping in, you know. And it wasn't that they treated you bad necessarily. It was just you always felt like you're trying to step in to community simply because of your name. And when that's what you experience, that can feel kind of isolating. It can feel a little awkward. It doesn't feel natural. But it just sort of is kind of what it is in a sense. It's powerful how by a name you can belong and be known. I want to take you to the story of Jesus and Peter. when Jesus had been arrested. If you want to read along with me in your Bible, you certainly may. I want to go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26, and I want to go to verse 69. It's the point in the story there, Matthew chapter 26, going to verse 69. It's the part of the story where, of course, Jesus has been arrested, and Peter is outside in the courtyard, and he has this sort of confrontation, if you will. And it's this moment of sort of being tested, and I want us to see how Matthew tells that story. In Matthew 26, verse 69, "And a servant girl came to him," talking about Peter, "saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' And when he had gone out," but he denied it before them all, saying, I don't know what you're saying. "And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man.' And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Well, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I bleepity bleep 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 do not know the man.'" Creative license there, the Bible does not say it that way. But you get the point. "Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So he went out and wept bitterly." Peter knew all too well that by a name you can belong and be known. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We have our identity in Christ. We belong to his kingdom. We are his church. And we are instructed to be known by his name as followers in this world in which we live. In fact, Jesus said that, you know, hey, by the way you live your life, so that it's your life stands for what my name means, the world will know that you're my disciples. As your life stands for love and hope and peace and joy, the world will know that you're my follower. They will know. And this is what I want for you. I want you to be a people that will live your life in such a way that you will be known by my name upon you. Hope, peace, joy, and love. Those are some beautiful gifts that I believe come from God. But they come from God through our salvation. You know, coming through hard times that we've been through the last several months, and you may have been through, going throughout life. As I've gone through these last several months and think back to the hard times that I have gone through, one of the things that I've learned is that you can always lose worldly stuff. There always can be something that causes your life to feel like the rug got pulled out from underneath you. And you don't know if you can really go on to anything beyond that moment. But I've also learned that if you have hope and you have peace and you have joy and you have love that is not contingent upon the things of this world, but upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that we worship and say, worship the King, that when it's grounded in the King, you can rebuild. Because you have the power and the gifts of God within you, you can be victorious and rebuild. It doesn't mean that it feels like you're going to be able to do that. He doesn't promise it's going to feel like you can. He promises that he can empower you to be able to do that which you cannot do in your own strength. That's his promise. And he calls the church to rebuild community through hard times, that the world will see that by his name we belong to him and we have his promises. And that we can be known for the power of God at work within us because we're experiencing that power at work. And our life becomes a testimony to belonging and being known. I love that idea. I think it's great. God has really done a beautiful work in building his church, putting it into place, sending it forth empowered by the Holy Spirit. Man. And you know, the world longs to belong to that type of community. People do. People are always searching for that. They just tend to search in the wrong places because they just search what they know, right? If you don't know that you can have those in Jesus over the long haul, you don't know to go there. But if you can hear it and hear somebody's testimony and go, can I tell you my story? Here's what I experienced, and this is what Jesus has done in me. Here's what he made possible in me. Can I share that story with you? A lot of times I find people are interested to hear that because they long for that. They're just not sure where to find it and get it. You know, in May of 2006, does that date ring a bell for maybe some folks in this church here? In May of 2006, a community of people stepped out. They stepped out into this community to share Christ's love with Boonville, Chandler, Newburgh, and really the world. They became pioneers. They were pioneers. They still are pioneers. And as pioneers, they became New Hope Community Church. They stepped out to build a community where imperfect people could belong to Christ and be known to God and be known to their community for their faith in Jesus Christ that is alive and active. This was the heartbeat of the church. Now we're in 2020. Whew. This has been a year so far. And this church has come a long way. But there is still one thing that remains. We are still a community that wants people to belong to Christ, to his kingdom, and for this community of believers to be known as a family of God who are full of the Spirit of God and living life to serve the living God out in the world, sharing the hope, peace, joy, and love that we have in Jesus Christ, that people will come to belong to the kingdom of God because of Jesus, and that they too and their families will become known in this community for the power of God having transformed the whole of their lives. This is still the DNA and the core and the drive and the purpose behind why we are here and why we do what we do. And for those of you, whether online or here on site with us this morning, if this resonates with you, I want to encourage you to dig in and let's keep going forward together. But I can tell you this, you will work harder than you've ever worked in your life. You will sacrifice and you will serve. You will get hardly any rewards in this life for the work that you will give to this mission. You will have to work through conflicts because we are imperfect people serving a perfect God. You will have to choose to love even when it's a struggle to do that. You will have to be willing to be inconvenienced for the cause of the gospel because it means more than our personal preferences. It will cost, but the rewards are far greater. And we're working for the rewards. And we realize the cost is just the cost. But Jesus said, count the cost and see if you want to follow. Because what I'm going to give you as you follow me, oh, it'll far be worth it. Just come follow me and I'll teach you to make disciples. I hope that you would want to be a part of that journey. I would hope that all of us want to continue to be a part of that journey, because that's why we're here. You know, today, as I said, it wraps up our Rebuilding Community series that we've been going through. And we've talked, you know, as this whole journey, we've talked about, hey, if you're going to rebuild a vibrant community in Christ going through hard times, then you have to do it with prayer and love. You remember that? If you're with us, and also said you need to do it knowing what you're doing and why you're doing. You got to keep the what and the why crystal clear as you go. We are diverse people, but we are one in Christ. We serve the same mission. So our diversity actually makes us better. We're better together. And we say we rebuild through conflict because that's the way of Christ and the cross. And so, having said all of this over the last few weeks, I want to share my promise to you, because I believe so much in what I've been teaching and talking about over the last few weeks, that as our pastor, this is my promise to you. I'm going to keep leading New Hope in partnership with our elders to rebuild vibrant community through these challenging times and beyond. It's going to be hard. Will you help me? I promise to you that I'm going to keep leading us to keep Jesus as the subject of what we do and why we do it. Will you help me? We need you. I promise that I'm going to keep leading us to build with a love for God and a love for people, to strive for unity amid our diverse shapes as a body, knowing we're better together. I promise that I'm going to persevere through conflict with love to the best of my ability and with the power of grace, God's grace in me, because again, that's the way of Christ, that's the way of the cross. And I promise that I will continue to build a community of disciples who love, grow, and serve as they lift up the name of Jesus. Because through Jesus, the world can know hope, peace, joy, and love. They can know eternal life in the kingdom of God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus will be the subject of who we are and where we go. All for the growth of the kingdom of God. Will you work with us? Will you help? That we can do this together. We can do this by the power of God. We can do this, for it's our calling. It's why we're here. We're going to keep Jesus the subject of our rebuilding and wherever that leads us, as I believe as time goes by, however long we have, right, until the Lord returns. We're going to do this because we know that by a name, you can belong and you can be known. Father, I ask that your Spirit would help us remember that simple truth, that we are committed, as we're trying to be committed, to rebuilding a vibrant community through a struggling time of being disconnected and isolated, separated, that, Lord, you would help us to keep the main thing the main thing, that through Jesus there is hope for our community, for our nation, and for our world, that only through Jesus do we truly belong where you've created us to belong, with you. By the name of Jesus and all that entails in our lives, help us to be known and our lives be a testimony to the power of your grace that transforms life for the good. Help us grow your kingdom and be known as a vibrant body moving and existing for kingdom growth as we make disciples who love, grow, and serve. Amen.